Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All-Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Robles ready to go. 0-2. Vasquez strikes out, swinging Tombstone for the final out. Light that baby up as the Angels earn a series split in extra innings today, 5-4 the final.
We're not in a good spot, so we'll sit down tomorrow and we'll see how we're going to map it out.
Yeah, they're in a bad spot. How many times have we heard this at this point? Now, August 12th. I think collectively, even the most hardcore of hardcore Red Sox fans are just waiting for this season to come to a merciful end at this point. It's the Baseball Reporters, Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy, in for Tony Maz tonight here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. So they end up splitting with the horrific Angels, the four-game series over the weekend. It started on Thursday over at Fenway Park. But that was that really was kind of a microcosm of how this season has been. In totality for the Red Sox yesterday, they lose 5-4 to the lowly Angels. Another bad outing for Andrew Cashner. We'll have news on him in just a moment. But this guy has been, outside of his one token start against the New York Yankees, Matt, has been a complete disaster.
A bum's bum.
A microcosm of the arson squad that has been not just the bullpen, but the entirety of the Red Sox rotation and pitching as a whole in 2019. And he's also kind of a microcosm of Dave Dombrowski, who's a dead man walking. It's the only move he makes before the trade deadline. And two prospects in the 17-year-old Dominican League to Baltimore for his services. And he comes in, and it was fool's gold what he was doing with Baltimore before, because this guy is complete garbage. He is, as you say, a bum's bum. And this yesterday wasn't just him. Like, the team as a whole, and some even the managerial decisions to sit Mookie Betts and then have him pinch run later in the game for Mitch Moreland, but not pinch hit
for Chris Owings,
who you shouldn't know, who flew into the game at 5 in the morning, didn't sleep, and he has him leading off yesterday in this game. It's like they've collectively waved the white flag. They've given up. So for those of you listening tonight, we appreciate it, because if the team's given up, I can't imagine how that many of you are still hanging on hopes here, because I would imagine many of you have also given up. This is a lost season. It's a complete lost season, and yesterday's kind of a capper. It just proves what a lost season this is and what a mess this team has been in 2019.
Isn't Andrew Cashner the living embodiment of everything that is wrong with the 2019 Red Sox? Like, from every perspective, he represents Dave Dombrowski's failure. His cavalier attitude, like, whatever, it's like, it was kind of hot today, kind of represents Alex Cora's attitude, and his overall performance represents the performance of the entire Red Sox pitching staff. And, oh, yeah, he's a fat, out-of-shape bum who looks like he should be homeless. Like, really, I mean, that's basically Andrew Cashner is the living embodiment of everything that is wrong and everything that went wrong with the 2019 Red Sox. Mr. Beard Claws himself. And now he goes to the bullpen. Thank God he won't make another start for the Red Sox this year. You know, they don't have a starter for Wednesday. They haven't figured it out. Like, they're just kind of throwing their hands up in the air. It's like, oh, I guess somebody's going to pitch.
Yeah, so to what Matt was just saying, Andrew Cashner, after yesterday's god-awful start, yet another, he has since been moved to the bullpen. Some of the quotes that have come out, we don't have any of the sound because the Red Sox are in Cleveland as they start up this quick three-game series against the Indians tonight. So, unfortunately, we don't have technology exists, but you know, we don't have it. Some of the stuff that Alex Cora has been asked about Cashner being moved to the bullpen, Rick Porcello, he was also asked about. Like, get to some of the great quotes that have come out of this pregame today.
Yeah, this is my favorite. Ian Brown tweeting out, Rick Porcello to stay in rotation. As Alex Cora said, You can't put everybody in the bullpen, which
it's just so perfect.
Unbelievable, right? But doesn't that sum it up? Like, Rick Porcello shouldn't make another start for the Red Sox this year, too. But they literally have no idea who's going to start on Wednesday. It's probably going to be, you remember that Erasmo Ramirez guy? You remember him from earlier this year?
Yes,
he was scratched from his start in Pawtucket yesterday. It sounds like Erasmo Ramirez is going to come up and start on Wednesday. They literally have nobody else. They are out. It's going to be Ryan Weber or Josh Smith. They're out of pitchers. They've got nobody else to start.
Yeah, so they now have, as of today, three men in their rotation. The bullpen's fried. They're just looking at this series against the Angels, who had lost seven straight.
When they lost eight in a row.
The Red Sox continue their losing record at Fenway. Another series against a bad team that they don't win. It's the split. Porcello has to stay in the rotation essentially by default. Cashman they put in because he's the bigger bag of suck between the two. They left 11 stranded. I think they were 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position in these last two games that they lost, ultimately split with the Angels over Sunday and Saturday. There's no positives from this. There's no positives surrounding this team at this point. There really aren't, Matt. And that's why ultimately I think we have to talk about the bigger picture with them. And this was, and you and I haven't had a chance to really discuss this, because this came, I think, late Friday. I was on with Ted Johnson. The news that John Morosi, MLB Network, has heard from other league executives, no one with the Red Sox. He at least did say that when he was talking about it. But he's heard from other league executives. The Red Sox are going to take calls on Mookie Betts this coming off season. Should they? And should they consider moving him?
Yes, they should take calls and they should consider moving him, because you either need to sign him or you need to trade him. You cannot let him go into 2020 as an impending free agent. You cannot run the risk of Mookie Betts, one of the top 10 players in baseball, wherever you want to put him, you cannot run the risk of Mookie Betts walking out the door for only a compensation pick. And that would be complete malpractice. And there are questions as to whether Mookie Betts wants to be here, and I think there are questions as to whether the Red Sox want to have him here. And this is something that hasn't been discussed enough, Jim. Basically, at every point, when the Red Sox have approached Mookie Betts with a contract, they've lowballed him. So what does that tell you about what the Red Sox think of Mookie Betts, or more importantly, and I think more accurately, think about paying Mookie Betts? 2017, they approached him with a 5-year deal north of $100 million. Obviously, below market value. John Morosi said they approached him, I think, sometime within the last year or two, with an 8-year contract worth $200 million. Obviously below market. We saw Manny Machado get 10 years and $300 million. That's kind of more in line with what Betts is going to get. Probably more, I would imagine. Hell, they took this guy to arbitration a year ago. They haggled over $3 million with this player. So does that indicate to you that the Red Sox are ready to turn around and give him $350 million? No way. So considering all of these factors, if you cannot sign him this offseason, you must trade him. You must get prospects in return. You must get top pitching prospects in return. The Red Sox have not developed a starting pitcher in over 10 years. The last homegrown starting pitcher they had was Clay Buchholz. You need to go, and you don't have anybody in the pipeline outside of Brian Mata, who's probably 2 years away at least. You must get starting pitching in return for Mookie Betts. You have to.
Yeah, and I've been convinced, like others too, like Maz, who's normally here, that Betts doesn't want any part of being here long term. So maybe that's part of the reason why the Red Sox have lowballed him, mm-hmm. or at least not given him a Manny Machado type deal where it's 10 years, $300 million, because they know deep he doesn't want to be here long term. And so even if the game came close, he's not going to sign a deal like that. It feels that way to me. And so you're right. I think they have to maximize it where he is their best asset this coming winter, try to replenish that farm system, try to find young pitching, because you can't really rely on Chris Sale going forward, even though you've now signed him as an extension. David Price, it seems like an injury or a bellyache, every couple of weeks with him. So I think that they have to. I also wonder if the Red Sox now find Mookie Betts, even though coming off an MVP season, and still a decent enough year numbers-wise this year, a little bit expendable, especially in terms of the offense, because of the bump that they got from Xander Bogaerts this year, and the same with Rafael Devers.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Obviously different positions, but just in terms of the what they bring to the lineup.
Okay, so you've got still essentially the best offense in baseball. I think they're second in Major League Baseball in runs scored. They've fluctuated between 1 and 2. I mean, the point being, if you lose Mookie Betts, sure, you're not as good offensively. You're not as dynamic. You don't have that great leadoff hitter. You don't have his all-world defense in right field. I get all that. Mookie Betts is a spectacular player. Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers are your 3-4 hitters for the next 5 to 10 years, theoretically, or maybe 2-3 hitters now in baseball, given, you know, the way they teams construct lineups at this point. Those are your core pieces. And if you can get Betts to stay, that's great. But if you trade him and you trade him for starting pitching prospects, you're still going to be fine. Hell, the Red Sox, I mean, they churn out position players like, you know, it's nobody's business. They've developed Betts and Devers and Bogarts and Benintendi. Like, they continue to do that. They can't develop a pitcher to save their lives. If you trade Betts, you better get pitching for him.
If you are still paying attention and you watched these games over the weekend, like, I tip my cap to you, I really do, because if it weren't for the job, and I think you've said the same thing, Matt, like, I would have tapped out weeks ago. Like, I still have to, you know, keep my proverbial finger on the pulse of what's going on with the Red Sox so we can talk about them. And I did watch a bit of yesterday's game and some of the managerial decisions made by Alex Cora. If you're still paying attention, you're right to be like out of your mind, and you still want to complain about it. Game like yesterday's and that lineup, which was, I mean, putrid.
What the
Again,
hell?
Who like, the hell is this kid that they wake up, have him fly from the Midwest at 5 in the morning, all bleary-eyed, and then he walks into Alex Cora's office and says, Skip. Where am I going to be today, Skip? I was just, you know, sitting on the bench riding pine. No, you're going to be leading off. Huh?
What?
Yeah, and he goes, what, 0 for 5 in the process?
Right, like, and strikes out with the bases loaded. Like, talk about putting somebody in a totally unfair position. Like, isn't it Alex Cora's job to put his players in the best position to succeed? I mean, I felt bad for the kid, really. I mean, you know, he's been cut twice, and, you know, now he ends up in this organization. I'm assuming the Paw Sox were in Toledo because he flew out of Detroit. Like, when did he have to leave Toledo yesterday morning to get to Boston? And you put him at the top of the order? Like, what are you doing,
man? Half-assed. The whole thing, really, for a while, has felt half-assed. Coming off 108 wins and a dominant postseason run in the World Series championship. The 2019 Red Sox, half-assed, and they've now waved the white flag and given up. Have you, though? Because I want to hear from you. You want to bitch about yesterday's game? You should, and this is the place to do it at 617-779-0985. And also want to get your thoughts on Mookie Betts, because Matt and I really didn't have a chance to really talk about that until today. Red Sox going to take calls on Mookie Betts, according to John Morosi, MLB Network, this coming winter. We both agree they should move on from Mookie Betts. But who should be the man to handle that situation? Should it be Dave Dombrowski? We'll get to that coming up here in the Baseball Reporters. Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for Maz here on the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He is a free agent after the coming season, after 2020. And so I was told by sources today that there's a belief in the industry, now this is not coming from the Red Sox, but they believe at this point in time that the Red Sox will at least listen, yes, listen, to trade offers for Mookie in the winter. Now, while that may sound absurd, here's the reasoning. You think about the Red Sox pitching staff. Porcello has struggled. Price is on the injured list right now. We've seen Sale have, objectively, the worst year of his career. And if the Red Sox believe that their pitching is simply not good enough looking forward to be able to compete against the Yankees, against the Rays, they may have to make the very dramatic decision if they don't want to extend their payroll further, which, by the way, they're already spending the most money in baseball this year, that one of their best ways to get young pitching in would be potentially, yes, to put Mookie on the trade market this winter.
So, we were talking about in the first segment of the show, Baseball Reporters, 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy. John Morosi, you just heard him right there, MLB Network, talking about how the Red Sox are. He's hearing from MLB executives, not related with the Red Sox, but he's hearing that the Sox are going to take calls on Mookie Betts this coming offseason, and Matt and I agree they should. But it begs the question, now that we've heard from, it feels like, informed speculation from Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, who put in his Pick to Pieces column last week, Matt, and then you have John Tomasi writing about it, those that cover the team. It feels almost like a formality. Dave Dombrowski, president of baseball ops, he's out at the end of the year. And while I certainly don't trust him when it comes to his drafting, how he's handled the younger players here, and how he's willy-nilly with trading people off from the farm system, and he's done that both in Miami and Detroit,
He's done
a job. I mean, he came as advertised, and, you know, he was able to take John Henry's checkbook and sign big-time free agents like David Price and make a trade for Chris Sale and deliver a World Series championship. The whole thing feels kind of scapegoaty. Bad season, terrible year, underachievement, terrible the trade deadline, didn't really address the bullpen. Okay, there's things you can get on him, but I don't know. To let him go this quick feels kind of scapegoaty because a head's got to roll. That said, do you want him handling a Mookie Betts trade?
No, no. And so I'll preface all of this by saying that I think Dave Dombrowski has been really an outstanding general manager here in town. Like, sure, this year is a disaster, and the bullpen thing is flat out embarrassing. And the way that he talks down to reporters, and really as a result, the fans, like, we got so many calls on our bullpen because our bullpen's good. Like, the way he talks down to people, like, he's the smartest guy in the room, sure, I've got a problem with. But he's been an outstanding GM. He came as advertised. He did everything the Red Sox ever could have asked him to do. Let's remember where the franchise was when Dave Dombrowski took over. Back-to-back last-place finishes, but a good young core. You wanted him to turn them into instant contenders and World Series contenders. He did that immediately. He built a World Series winner. He did everything the Red Sox ever could have asked him to do. And you absolutely need to move on from him, and you need to move on from him at the end of the season, because he will leave your franchise in ruin. Dave Dombrowski is a short-term GM. He is a 5-year GM. He is not a 15-year GM. Look at the state he's left the Detroit Tigers in. And as you approach the Mookie Betts trade, which I'm assuming is going to happen this offseason, that is a franchise-altering moment. If you're going to trade Mookie Betts, you damn well better get it right. And I'm not convinced Dave Dombrowski is the appropriate person to look at somebody's top 5 prospects and say, all right, these are the 3 guys that I want. Because you better get that trade right. And if you don't, you're going to regret it for a long time. And you better have somebody in control who can pick the right guys, or at least has a better chance to pick the right guys than Dave Dombrowski. That's just not who he is.
And especially when it comes to specifically young pitchers, wasn't it, correct me if I'm wrong, his first draft pick here was that kid Jay Groom,
right,
who had a lot of upside, but also a lot of question marks and red flags for some off-the-field stuff, but then he ends up getting injured too. Like, that one just felt like immediately he blew that one.
Yep.
So that's not a feather in his cap. You know?
His drafts have been awful.
Yeah.
I mean, he drafted Tanner Houck, who is nothing more than a bullpen arm, and they've moved into the bullpen, and you know, maybe he becomes that, but that's not a first-round pick, theoretically. No, the drafting's been bad. You're exactly right, Jim.
And so, and I've heard you before, too, you use the Yankees as an example here, too. You don't want them even trading Mookie Betts for established younger players. You do believe it has to be about prospects, because the Yankees were able to do that, to take a bit of a step back in 2016.
All right, so go back to 2014, which is the last time the Red Sox had a big sale. They trade John Lester, but they didn't get prospects for John Lester. They got Yoenis Cespedes for him and turned him into Rick Porcello. Bad asset management. They turned John Lackey into Alan Craig and Joe Kelly. Like, what? When you sell established big league players, you don't just try to get a big league player in return, which is exactly what the Red Sox tried to do. My concern is, Jim, that the brass over there, I don't know if they feel like they can sell not a rebuild, because this isn't a rebuild. I don't know if they feel like they can sell the fan base on, we got 3 top 100 prospects. But Red Sox fans are smart. They'll understand that. If you trade Mookie Betts and get 3 top 100 guys from, like, the Braves, they've got 6 guys in the top 100 right now. I think Red Sox fans will totally understand that, and I think Red Sox fans would be all in on that. My concern is the organization won't feel the same way, because the Yankees comparison you make is an apt one. When the Yankees traded Aroldis Chapman, they got Gleyber Torres in return. When they traded Andrew Miller, they got Clint Frazier in return. They got a good package from the Indians in that deal. If you're going to trade, and you're going to trade somebody like Mookie Betts, a top 10 player in baseball, you better get young, cost-controlled prospects, and you better get pitching prospects in return.
It's a long way of saying, and I think you agree, Matt, is that these two stories they're linked.
Yes.
Like, the timing of them, you hear this Mookie Betts news coming like 3 days later, from Dan Shaughnessy's picked up pieces column, where the first thing he leads off with is, he's not going to be surprised if Dave Dombrowski's out at the end of the year. Like, that's, you know, he's as plugged in as anybody else, especially when it comes to the Red Sox.
So he wrote it in John Henry's paper.
Yeah, these two things, they're linked. And while, again, I do feel it's a bit scapegoaty, and overall, Dave Dombrowski has done a good job. He has. You've won a World Series with this guy. I don't want him anywhere near this Mookie Betts trade because you absolutely have to get it right. You use the term, it's a franchise-altering deal if you trade Mookie Betts, and it is. You can't screw this up.
No, you can't.
And that's why it can't be Dombrowski. So maybe it's, is it Eddie Romero? That name's been thrown around. Whoever it happens to be, they have to have their finger on the pulse of other teams' farm system and know about young prospects.
I'm looking for a ground-level type of guy, and Eddie Romero's done a lot of things in the organization, and he's done a lot of international stuff. Like, that's more the kind of the boots on the ground type of general manager you want making this deal. Like, Dave Dombrowski is not a boots on the ground type of guy. He's not out there, you know, like, that's just, that's not him. And that's fine, because Dombrowski, again, he's done his job. He was the guy that you bring in. All right, you know, we've got to turn this thing around. We need to win. We need to win now. We've got a good young core. Here's $240 million. Go out and build a winner. Go out and build a World Series contender. And he did exactly that. Like, mission accomplished for Dave Dombrowski. He's not the guy you want for 10 or 15 years. He will be the Detroit Tigers in the end. And hopefully the Red Sox recognize it. This has been, I know we focused on it a lot with the Shaughnessy piece in the last week, Jim. But John Henry came out in February and said, well, you know, we're going to give Dave Dombrowski a contract extension this year. It's been really quiet ever since. Does that mean that, you know, things are going bad behind the scene? Does it mean that Dave Dombrowski doesn't want a contract extension? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure. Does Dave Dombrowski, he's been in the game 30 years. Does he want to take a step back and be with his family? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. But something has happened between February and now, and I'm not necessarily sure if it's the Mookie Betts thing. I mean, I think it's definitely linked, but I don't think that's the only reason. Something definitely happened between February and now.
All right, your thoughts on potentially moving on from Mookie Betts this coming off season? 617-779-0985. And for those of you still paying attention to the Red Sox on a day-to-day, night-to-night basis, well, you got a lot to complain about over the last couple of days with this series split with the lowly Angels. Oh, what a mess. What a terrible product they're putting out on the field right now. Dave in Norwell, you're first up on the Baseball Reporters tonight on Mookie Betts. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. So, listen, first of all, you know, what's happened between February and now? It's been a disaster. That's what's happened. As far as Mookie Betts goes, I mean, yeah, you need pitching for him. So, you know, you look to some other organizations, preferably in the NL. You know, is there a possibility he wants to go south back to Atlanta where he's from? You know, I don't know about anybody in their system, but, you know, you pursue that. Look for guys down there. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Atlanta's probably the organization you should first look to because, and I'll just read this from Baseball America's description of their system. The Braves' remaining prospects are still the envy of baseball. Perfect fit. Perfect fit. That's a team with a new stadium. They're ready to win now. They've, you know, developed Acuna and Albez, and they've developed a bunch of great young prospects, but they still have the third best system in baseball, according to Baseball America. That is the team that seems to be the perfect, like, you could understand that they would want to bring in somebody like Mookie Betts. Hell, maybe they'll even pony up to keep Mookie Betts after this year because they've got the new stadium. They've got all that new revenue. Like, we know what happens when teams get new stadiums. They want to invest. They want that excitement there. I don't know. It seems like a match made in heaven to me. But to Felger's point earlier, and it's a good one, you're not going to have every team in baseball knocking down your door for Mookie Betts because, again, he's a flight risk after the year. So you're looking at teams with a good prospect pool and teams that feel like they can compete. Atlanta is a team that I would certainly focus on. The Dodgers have
Well, it's going to be teams that financially can, you know,
right.
re-up him, too.
Yeah, so you're looking at Atlanta. The Dodgers, obviously, they've got a ton of money, and particularly if they don't win the World Series again this year. Like, you know, they've invested so much, and, you know, they might want to go all in, or, you know, for lack of a better term, for next year. And the Chicago White Sox as well. They tried to sign Harper. They tried to sign Machado. They're, you know, kind of at the tail end of their rebuild. They're looking to really take off next year. They've got a very good farm system still, and, you know, maybe Mookie Betts is the type of guy that they could sell their fan base on. Like, hey, you know, it's time for us. But there aren't many teams beyond that.
Matt and I want to move on from Mookie. It's the best thing for the Red Sox going forward. How about you? 617-779-0985. And maybe the Red Sox haven't given up, or maybe their skipper hasn't given up. You want to hear a delusional quote? Oh, we'll give you this coming up from Alex Cora, what he just said before tonight's game as they start up against the Cleveland Indians on the road tonight. That and your phone calls next here on the Baseball Reporters, right after the Sports Up headlines with Matt McCarthy.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
We have the Sox. The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Another ball for him. Boy, four in the inning. And the base is loaded again. Here comes Cora. He has seen enough. Cashner walked the first two. Then he walked Trout. Now he's walked Pujols. In between, a two-run single by Ohtani. Josh Taylor coming in. Cashner's going to hear it a bit from the crowd at Fenway Park. 3-0, and he leaves behind. The base is loaded. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Boo! 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 Boo them off. Boo them off the effing field. Seriously, they deserve to get their asses booed tonight. Boo! 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 Boo them!
And Mass is right about that. The Red Sox do deserve to be booed off the field after their performance Saturday and Sunday. Ended up splitting with the terrible Angels, but that's awesome. Yesterday. Andrew Cashner, another terrible outing. What was it, 1 2/3?
Yeah. He's a nice opener there, God. Jim. You don't need a fifth starter anyway. You can just have an opener like Andrew Cashner. He'll go an inning and 2/3, but he'll suck doing it.
So they lose 5-4. And so Alex Cora is speaking ahead of tonight's game against the Cleveland Indians, first of three against Cleveland. And, you know, the big news is how Andrew Cashner, no longer part of the rotation, sucks so bad they push him to the bullpen. Asked the same thing about Rick Porcello. No, we can't put everybody there, is what Alex Cora said. So Alex Cora must be in, like, kind of a fun mood because Alex Cora, we don't have the sound, but I'm reading from Ian Brown, MLB.com, covering the Red Sox out in Cleveland. Alex Cora drawing inspiration from the Mets. You want to hear delusion? Like, this is... Maybe he is a bigger part of the problem. Last year, obviously, like, he helped to get these guys fired up. I think he's definitely got, you know, his antenna is up. He hears all the slights, and that helped to motivate them last year. This year, and how they carried themselves, how this team carried themselves, it started with the manager and all the cockiness and still living in the past of last year's 108 wins in the World Series. Like, that's last year, get over it, but he apparently couldn't, and that trickled down to them. This is just annoying, especially with the way that they've played. And the splitting with the Angels over the weekend. Alex Cora drawing inspiration right now from the Mets. He said, quote, "You look around the league and what's happening at Citi Field with the Mets. You win 14 out of 15. It happens. We know what we have to do the rest of the season. We can do it. But it starts here in Cleveland." Thank you.
Oh, my God. Oh.
The Mets.
I understand that you have to talk every day. I get, and, like, eventually what do you say?
I mean, it's a story in this job, Matt. As you know, you got to talk every day.
No,
we got to fill 5 hours. It's all a matter of time before one of us says something stupid or you piss somebody off.
Right. I do it on a daily basis, yeah. I guess. But
Alex Cora, like, know the room. Know who you're talking to. Know how delusional and stupid you sound by saying this. Because the Mets have Wheeler and Syndergaard. The Mets have pitching.
Yes.
They added Marcus Stroman. They added a real player at their trade deadline. They've turned their they've actually cleaned up on bad competition since the beginning of August. I think they went 14-8 or something like that, ridiculous, in July. They have a pretty decent lineup. They're playing their asses off. They're trying. There's something real there. This team's given up. You've given up with your managerial decisions yesterday by sitting Mookie Betts. You've given up. This is such crap. This really, at this point in the season, with the way that this team has played and performed and completely shut it down, this is an FU. Reading this is a script. You look around the league, what's happening with the Mets, 14 out of 15. We know what we have to do the rest of the season. We can do it. It starts here in Cleveland. I hope they get swept. I really do. You stink. You stink. You've given up. You've waved the white flag. You did it weeks ago. David Price shut it down. I'm sure he's dealing with a little something,
yep.
But to get the MRI and get the 10-day injured list, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he was done for the rest of the year. Chris Sale's too erratic. Your rotation sucks. All the pitching stinks. You have no one you can trust in the bullpen. You have runners in scoring position you keep leaving game after game. You're not clutch. You're the complete opposite of that team last year. And you're not this year's Mets team either, which is thankfully been one of the great stories in Major League Baseball over the last 2 or 3 weeks. I said to someone I was golfing with just yesterday, Matt, I kind of wish we were doing New York sports talk in terms of baseball, because at least the Mets are fun to talk about
single night. I mean, like, I'm seriously, I kid you not, Jim, like, what's the Mets score tonight? What's the Mets score? Like, what's going on at Citi Field right now? They're the story of baseball. Hell, you're not the New York Mets. You won't be the New York Mets. You're not even the Cleveland Indians, who are red hot and are now in a tie for the lead in the American League Central. Like, you're not even playing inspired baseball like that. Forget the best team in baseball right now. You're not even as good as the team on the other side of the field from you tonight. You can't even draw comparisons to that bunch. This is, I understand that Alex Cora has to come out and, you know, he can't come out and say, well, yeah, season's over. You know, when's the final day? Actually, I just booked my flights. I'm going on vacation the second the season is over. Like, I get it. He can't do that, even though he probably feels it. But to draw comparisons to the Mets, like,
or just say
planet delusion.
Say something a little more rational. Just saying, like, hey, we're just trying to take things at a game by game basis right now.
Hey, mathematically, it's not impossible. Look what the Mets just did, but we got to play like the Mets. You know, we need to play with that fire and that competitiveness. You know, sure, it's not impossible mathematically, but with the way we're playing, it's not going to happen.
The other thing too, one of the things I find fascinating about the Mets, because they sunk like a stone. They started off hot. Typical Mets started off hot. Sunk like a stone, complete disaster.
They were a disaster. I mean, Mickey Callaway's threatening reporters and Jason Vargas is, you know, trying to pick fight. Like, yeah, they were a complete disaster a month and a half ago.
And they fired their pitching coach. So this is the other thing. So if you are still paying attention, and I can understand if you are a season ticket holder and you're pissed about this year, and so maybe you've looked at some of the pitching this year, especially with the rotation, and said, well, maybe, look, you hate to see a guy lose his job, but Daniel Lavangie, like, I don't know, maybe he doesn't get it. Maybe the approach hasn't been the right approach. You could certainly say that about Chris Sale, who they seemingly at times, Matt, don't want him to attack. And when he does, and he's Chris Sale, he's at his best, like his last start. But other times, when he's nibbling and they're having him hold on to the ball too long, it's like, well, where's that come from? Is it Daniel Lavangie? Is it the pitching coach? Does that need to change? So if you want to try to emulate the Mets, how about you fire him and put someone else in there? They replaced him with an 82-year-old man, their pitching coach, who's, you know, the guy that they fired and who they replaced him with, the old man whose name I don't
Phil
know.
Phil Regan is their pitching coach. I used to pitch for the Dodgers like way back in the 1910, probably when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn.
Yeah, when Roy Campanella was catching, for God's sakes. So at least they were proactive. You've done nothing. You added nothing. You're not the Mets. This pissed me off, obviously. Like, to see this on a night like this and after that weekend series where you split with the Angels, who are garbage outside of Mike Trout and Otani, and, like, that's about it. That's complete garbage.
Real quick, on the pitching coach change, it tells you that the Mets went away from the analytics. And the Red Sox are so clearly driven.
Oh, perfect.
You know,
like,
Brian Bannister is, like, I don't know what his official title is, chief pitching stats nerd. Like, he's the type of, you know, they're evaluating all the, you know, the numbers and everything like that. You think Phil Regan is looking at the numbers in New York? Or is he probably just going that there being like, yeah, attack these hitters, you dumbass.
Right.
Throw the ball, like some old school ass kicker. That's probably what he is. You think the Red Sox could use an old school ass kicker instead of
rotation?
With this particular hitter's warp, you want to attempt
bring
to attack
in Leo
him.
Mazzoni.
Right.
Yeah.
Do something like that.
That's what they need. So the Mets have done all this. So don't compare yourself to the Mets. It starts tonight in Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah. Starts tonight in Cleveland against a team that's playing their asses off and is about to sweep you because every single moment means something to the team on the other side.
We were talking in the last segment about trading Mookie Betts. John Morosi, MLB Network, said late last week he had heard from MLB executives that the Red Sox will at least pick up the phone and take those calls. You better call Tyrone, call the Red Sox and call about Mookie Betts. They'll take those calls. We think that they should trade him and replenish their farm system, especially with young pitching. How about you? 617-779-0985. Scott in the car. Hello, Scott.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, first time, long time, Jim. You've done a great job really developing your talents on air.
No, thanks.
I think Mookie Betts, you're giving him $25 million for 8 years. I think realistically, isn't $35 million for, you know, 7 years or 5 years or whatever, is that more realistic? You know, for people to say that he doesn't want to be here, I don't think they really treated him like they want him to be here. I don't think their offers have been, you know, market fair.
Well, not with that one that was reported first, which was, what, 8 at 200?
And this has been my point the whole time. It's like every time it seems like the Red Sox approach Mookie Betts with a contract, it's insultingly low. five for north of 100, which McAdam, I think, reported at the beginning of 2017. Morosi talking about the eight for 100. They took him to arbitration. They haggled over $3 million. So the whole talk about Mookie Betts not wanting to be here, hey, maybe it's true. I can believe it, sure. But I don't think the Red Sox have done anything to make him want to stay here, that's for sure, particularly not with the contracts they've offered him.
Mike in Connecticut, you're up here on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Let me ask you this. You guys kind of touched upon my question here. So let me ask you guys, as far as a team that we could go after who might have the necessary prospects, particularly pitching, as you guys alluded to, who would be a good solid team that you guys think would be somebody that we should be taking calls from, particularly pertaining to Mookie Betts and making a trade? Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike. Well, Morosi alluded to it when he was talking about an MLB network. You brought him up, the Atlanta Braves. You said they're pitching rich. And just reading from Baseball Prospectus, is that what it was?
Baseball America, Braves' remaining pitching prospects are still the envy of baseball. They have six top 100 prospects. Four of them are pitchers.
And who else? So just if not them, then you mentioned the LA Dodgers.
The Dodgers certainly make sense. You know, they're a win-now mode. They could keep Mookie Betts. They could pay him, you know, a huge market franchise. And I would also put the Chicago White Sox on the list. They tried to sign Bryce Harper. They tried to sign Manny Machado. They still have one of the best farm systems in baseball. And they're, you know, they've gone with a five-year rebuild. They're ready to next year maybe compete. And they're trying to sell their fans on, you know, it's time. We're going to be the next, you know, Astros or the next Chicago Cubs or the next one of these teams to just go in the tank and totally rebuild that way. They're at the tail end of that. I could see the White Sox wanting to make a huge splash.
617-779-0985.
And by the way, 3, 4, 5, all of those teams in Baseball America's organizational rankings. Excellent. So, you know, top five teams as far as prospects go.
617-779-0985. We have one segment to go. If you do want to try to get in your calls, give us your thoughts on the potential of trading Mookie Betts. You want to see Dave Dombrowski fired, or you just want to get on Alex Cor for his stupid Mets comments before tonight's game. It starts tonight. We can be the Mets. That lineup you put out yesterday, you're managing decisions. You don't pitch hit Mookie Betts, but you have him pinch run for, what was it, Mitch Moreland? Are you kidding me? You could be the Mets. Not when you're this stupid. It's done. It's over. You've given up. You've waved the white flag. You've proven that here over the weekend and just really the way that you guys have played the Red Sox this whole season in its entirety.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.